Life on the Sideline.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injuries. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the king at 909-KING.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Hour two of the Sports Hangover. Erin Hartigan. Fox Sports New Orleans. She hosts the pregame, halftime, postgame show. We'll talk Pels. They tip off tomorrow. Alvin Gentry yesterday.
There's no one in the league that we would trade him for, and there's no one out of the league. Yep, not even Beyonce.
Not even Beyonce. I saw some people tweet yesterday. What would you trade him for? Jake Madison, Locked On Pels, he tweeted that this morning. He goes, would you trade AD for another Saints Super Bowl?
Ooh, I saw one where would you trade AD for, like, the Falcons go 0-16 for the rest of
existence? I'll just root for that. I'm not trading.
Yeah, that wouldn't be any fun. Because then you wouldn't see him get the moral loss.
What would you trade him for?
Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, right now,
why
to me.
Why would you?
Nothing. We'll hear a little bit more from Alvin Gentry here as well. Coming up bottom of the hour, fantasy football. Tim Heaney, RotoWire. Any fantasy football questions, get those at the ready. And we will chat with him when the bottom of the hour comes. Gary Smith of The Advocate, he will join us. At 1:45, talk Tulane. They take on SMU here at home in a 2:30 game on Saturday. No Nichols games this week, as they have a bye week. So we won't hear from head coach Tim Rebo. Got plenty to get into, though, as we get into Major League Baseball at 2:15 with Tim Grubbs. And I'll ask him, does he think the TV package is kind of hurting the ratings or not, or just even the coverage? TBS, Fox Sports 1. You even know where that is, so you go watch it. Or do you think it's overrated to where it needs to be on the main network?
I just don't think they advertise it well.
Well, I know that. It's, again, that's, you know, it's why I'm saying, like, have you sat down and watched? Like, okay, we're Pels fans, right?
Right.
Okay. Are you going to watch tonight? 76ers at Boston at 7 o'clock and then Thunder. Golden State, 9:30 on TNT. Are you going to watch any of those games?
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Sit down, grab my popcorn.
Is that what you're doing, popcorn?
I got to cut down. I got to cut it down the weight. I'm starting the Fitbit thing again, so I can't really eat popcorn.
Starting the Fitbit.
This Fitbit?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know what a Fitbit is.
Yes, I have one right here.
You actually have, that's a Fitbit?
Yeah, got Fitbit, all right, and I got my Apple
I'm going to have to challenge you in some of those little challenges.
Feel free to challenge me. You got no shot.
Perfect. I love that.
You got no shot.
Bet.
Yeah, I can bet you. This 42-year-old is going to smack you. All right. So we'll talk a little bit about that here as well. Also yesterday, open locker room for the New Orleans Saints. They get back at it against the Ravens again. Late afternoon kickoff. Remember Sunday, late afternoon kickoff. Joey, that means you can go do your chores. You can wake up late. You can cut the grass. You can do all kinds of things. The game's not till after 3. So you're good. Late afternoon kickoff. One of the things that we'll have fun with, of course, this week is just the different storylines. We like to do that, right? Turn the page Tuesday, things of that nature. Going into the bye week, Marcus Davenport was definitely a player that a lot of people started to talk about. Starting to show up, make some plays, right? We saw him make a play or two against the Giants game. And in that Monday night game, you know, what, 3 tackles, 2 were solo, 2 tackles for a loss and a sack. I mean, so he's getting there. He's getting there. Marcus Davenport was asked yesterday afternoon in the locker room, how does he feel he's improved?
Just practicing, trying to just get better each day. You know, it's not really a competition against them. It's against myself. And, yeah, basically.
All right, so, man of short, not many words, Jordan. Very self-reflective, too, a lot of times. I noticed so far this season when he talks, it's always we and the team and things of that nature, you know? Including, like, he was asked about, you know, forcing the fumble. And same thing. Kind of, you know, it wasn't about him.
That was cool, but I wanted the sack, so yeah, so chalk that up to learning experience, you know.
But you forced a turnover, right?
One of them? Oh, yeah, that was one. That was one. I almost forgot. Hey, man, you know, but I'm just on to the next. I just want to be, I just want to do more.
He got a haircut.
Let me guess, that's Cam Jordan?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Marcus Davenport will be an impactful.
More or less, I'm playing. You know, I'm not necessarily worried about making mistakes. I'm doing my job. I'm going to try to do it to the best of my ability. Fitting inside the scheme and being able to, like, make plays and be impactful.
Look, and again, you could see the difference. Can't you, Jordan, from preseason to now, just kind of starting to look a little more comfortable, not as lost in a lot of areas. And again, you heard that a lot from the very beginning. This guy was raw, got to shape and mold him, and you'll do that. Ryan Nielsen, the D-line coach from NC State, he came over, right? What, the entire D-line got drafted by the NFL? I mean, the guy knows what he's doing. And it's give him some time and let him get some snaps under his belt.
The biggest thing that we had to work on was necessarily my confidence in the game, my comfortability in the game, and increasing my speed, you know, making it about me. And, you know, not necessarily worrying about tackling.
I can see that.
I like that mindset, right? Instead of, because remember when he talked to me in preseason?
Because I feel like he's down on himself.
Well, that's
in
what I
was going
to say. Remember preseason goes, I can't be Teron Armstead. You know, right. I'm not used to this. I'm not used to not ever winning a play. And it's what he just said, though. He was trying to beat Teron Armstead. What did he just say just now? He needs to make it to where, you know, Teron Armstead is trying to block him. I know it might sound the same, but it's a different mindset, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, one's negative, one's...
Well, one's reactionary, one's being... What did Coach O say yesterday about Georgia? Being the aggressor, right? That tackle should worry about blocking me. I'm going to... This is what I'm doing, and instead of me reading him, he needs to read me. He was asked, what does he think he's improved from preseason to now?
Personally, just being more comfortable in the game. You know, sure, I line up against some of the best, but even then, I have to believe that I deserve to be here. And so I have to consider myself one of the best and go out there and actually work like it.
Part of that improvement as well, studying the opponent. How is he doing in handling that?
Of course, well, you have to be a student of the game, you know. You can study them, but you have to study yourself. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to go back and see what you, like, didn't do as well and tend to improve on. You know, you got to know what they're going to try to exploit.
We talked about this yesterday. One of the stats that was pretty cool. Saints moved up without playing to number one in the NFL in rush defense. They entered this weekend's games at number four. What does Marcus Davenport feel about the team's rush defense?
Honestly, our mindset. Shoot. We got mad that they even got them yards. You know, it's we just want to be the best. And so we don't take anything for granted. Even what we do, we want to be better than what we did.
So it's been more of an aggressiveness than a technique standpoint, I guess?
Yeah, aggressiveness, I guess, so mindset, attitude, you know. Like I said, we get mad at what we don't do. So we could have had a great game, but we still allowed some plays. That we weren't perfect. We chasing perfection.
All right, Jordan, I'm going to ask you. You saw Tyler Davidson yesterday, right?
Right.
Was he, you know, bandaged up?
Nah.
Was he on a scooter? Because he couldn't walk?
Nah.
Crutches?
Nah.
Was he carted around the locker room?
No, he was just sitting down. Okay. He sat down and talked.
So you didn't see him stand up?
I never saw him stand up.
Did he have a massive knee brace? Leg brace, ankle brace, back brace. Because he was carted off the game. That's why I was asking.
I know. I'm still in training, so I didn't really observe.
You didn't observe,
yeah,
huh?
That.
Okay.
Like you would have.
I'm saying it's like when you walked in, he didn't look like RoboCop.
He wasn't a standout.
Okay.
He was just.
He looked like a normal person.
Yeah, normal person getting dressed in the locker room.
You didn't see crutches next to him.
No.
Okay.
Not that I can recall.
Or a little scooter.
No.
Because he can't move. I get he got carted out of the game. That's why
nothing
I'm asking.
That I can recall.
I was just making sure. Oh, no, it was Stallworth. Never mind. Not Tyler Davidson.
Jesus.
I'll figure it out
you
at some point.
Bum.
Tyler Davidson his thoughts on the defense.
You know, a little bit more consistent. We're getting back there quicker. I don't know. I feel like it was pretty good last year, but now it's just a little bit more consistent.
What about the fact he feels people are kind of doing what they're supposed to be doing their job?
Yeah, I feel like it's consistent across the board. Everybody's doing their job. Everybody's attacking the blocker. You know, everybody's doing the right technique. So, and I feel like everybody, you know, we've been playing together for some time now, you know. And I feel like, you know, with that being said, it's allowed us to gel together to kind of play with each other. And then on top of that, I feel like everybody, the new guys that we have are really doing well. You know, and everybody's being nasty, attacking. The effort is high. I feel like all those things are coming together.
There you go. As we go to break, shame on you, Jordan the intern. Shame on me. Joey, you know what day of the week it is?
Oh, yeah.
Tunes Tuesday.
Tunes Tuesday. Did it again.
No, it's still Tunes Tuesday.
Just got a message. Where's the local music? It's Tunes Tuesday.
I'm dreaming of a... Okay.
We will do better when we come back out of this break. We'll have some local music, I promise. Of some sort. Have you even checked sportshangovermusic@gmail.com?
Yes, today.
Did you?
Yes. I don't know why I didn't think of it. My days are just starting to blend together.
Is that what that is?
That's what it is.
Uh-huh. Such a hard life being you.
Right,
at
it
19.
Is. I mean, it's hard being awesome all the time.
Yeah,
I wish,
that's what
you know.
Say. Aaron Hartigan, Fox Sports New Orleans, is going to join us next. We'll talk NBA and Pels. Season starts tonight, folks, over on TNT. Philly at Boston. OKC at Golden State. Pels tomorrow night at Houston.
Oh, boy.
We'll touch on all of that and more. CP Me and Harden Mello. Carmelo Anthony now with the Houston Rockets. All that next on ESPN New Orleans.
Sink your teeth into one of the dugout in Thibodeau's famous mouth-watering Grand Slam Burgers or their famous homemade roast beef po' boys. The dugout also has frappes, smoothies, and a variety of specialty sundaes and offers over 85 snowball flavors to choose from. Any one can be made sugar-free. Follow them on Facebook. First 10 customers to come in and mention you heard this commercial on ESPN Radio will win a free dugout t-shirt. Visit the Dugout of Thibodeau, located on St. Mary Street in Thibodeau.
Always on the run and short on cash? With a State Bank and Trust Company debit card, you can pay for goods and services without the need for cash in your pockets or the hassle of writing checks. Available on all consumer and commercial checking account holders. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company, Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
Lady of the Sea After Hours Clinic has moved to the new Lady of the Sea Cutoff Clinic, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano. The same After Hours staff will continue to see patients from 5 to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends with no appointment necessary. Now the convenience of a walk-in clinic with a pharmacy at the same location is available for our community. Same provider in a new environment. Lady of the Sea After Hours Clinic, here when you need us.
Terrio, Douay, and Terrio, more than just an insurance company, they're marine insurance specialists. Whether it's fishing boats, cabin cruisers, sailboats, or marine industry, you can trust Terrio, Douay, and Terrio to get you the coverage you need at a price you deserve for your home, your auto, life, fire, and health. They've been taking care of people since 1957. Call Terrio, Douay, and Terrio at 475-5126. Just ask for Lynn Pierce or David O. along Bayou Lafourche in Golden Meadow.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. Today's fluctuating interest rates can leave you with unexpected higher mortgage payments. At Quicken Loans, we've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates so you can buy a home with certainty. It's called Rate Shield, and here's how it works. With Rate Shield, you can lock your interest rate while you shop for a new home. So if rates go up, you don't have to worry. And here's the best part. If rates go down, you get the lower rate. With Rate Shield, we really have you covered. Here are more reasons why you'll want to work with America's largest mortgage lender. For 8 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the 5th year in a row, they've also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. Rate Shield. Another way we can save you money on your mortgage. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Based on Rocket Mortgage data in comparison to public data records. Rachel approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender license in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
If you want...
It is Tunes Tuesday. And it is Tuesday, which means we need to talk to head coach Tim Rebo, the Nickel State Colonels. As always, you can follow them on Twitter at Nichols_FB. Coach, how are you today? On a bye week, what's going on?
Disappointed still. So I guess we got to get over this hangover that we have. But it's a good thing we got a little bye week this week to try to regroup and get back and move forward.
I'm sure it was the question that everyone asked you yesterday on the Tim Rebo Show. 28-12 at Abilene Christian. What happened, Coach?
Missed opportunities. I mean, I thought we came out ready to play. I got to give our guys credit. I thought we played hard. We drive it down the field and got to settle for a field goal. Get it back again, drive it down there again, got to settle for another field goal. And I thought up until the second quarter we were moving the ball and running the ball. And then we got started getting behind the chains, Gus. And you follow this game a lot. And you look at the stats, and when you have 3rd and 22 and 3rd and 20 and 3rd and 18, and, I mean, multiple times, It's hard to be successful and convert and win ball games.
Coach, it has to be disappointing because that was someone of a trend early in the season. It felt like every Tuesday we were talking about that and asking a little about that. And then you had some games where, boom, it was touchdowns instead of field goals. And then, so for it to pop up again, was it disappointing from that aspect of it? Or what did Abilene Christian do to force that?
No, I thought it's very disappointing because I think we got enough weapons that we got to be able to overcome no matter what a team does. But you have to give them credit, and we tried to stress our guys all week. I think they were probably the most sound and disciplined team that we had faced up until this point. I mean, they did a good job on defense. They stayed in their gaps. I thought they tackled well, and they kept everything in front of them. And I think that's what they did again the other night. And I tell you, that linebacker 23 Chambers is a heck of a player, man. He was all over the field, and you know they just made plays, and we dropped a couple passes, and then we had some penalties, and when you combine all that, that's when you only score 12 points. But I think to be disappointed too is you can't go and get shut out in the second half. Defensively, we were playing okay after giving up two big plays in the first half, and you know it was 21-12, and we went into halftime and said, hey, look. Get us a field goal. If we get us a field goal and make it 21-15, let's go, game on. And we didn't do that, and we kept them, and then they scored one late to push it to 28.
You know, Coach, one of the things, obviously, it's disappointing. You mentioned not getting any points in the second half. Your defense held them to 7, too. So on the defensive side of the ball, you had opportunities to come in and try to make this comeback.
Yeah, we did. One of the things is when we wanted to do is get turnovers and win the turnover battle. And it was a clean game. And we did force a turnover in the second half. And we got the ball. Armani Martin had a strip sack. And we got the fumble, I think, around the 45-yard line on the plus side of the field. And we didn't do anything with it. And that was disappointing for us because defense had been playing. And then they had a shot late in the game. It was 4th-and-7. They converted a first down, and they went ahead and scored. And that was the difference in the ball game.
So the bye week is here. Obviously, anytime you get a week off, Coach, treatment, resting, getting some players back to health, always something as well. From a staff standpoint, how do y'all approach a bye week?
Yeah, we did. We got back late. We knew this trip going out to Abilene. We rolled in Sunday, I think around 5 a.m. here in Thibodaux. And so it was an off day for us, which we usually don't have. So we gave them Sunday off. We came in Monday, and we just lifted weights and watched the film and put them to bed. We're going to practice a couple of days. We'll practice this afternoon and Wednesday. And then it's a different situation around here. This week we have fall break. So we're off of school on Thursday and Friday. We're going to let our guys go home, get rest up on Friday and Saturday, and come back Sunday, get ready for a normal game week and preparing for UIW.
UIW, the final four games, all three of the four are at home. Houston Baptist, the only road game remaining. How much of an advantage is that as we wrap up?
It's going to be nice. You know, our guys are already talking about it. But we're going to I told them this, too, in a meeting. It's only going to be an advantage to us if we take advantage of it. And I know that sounds crazy, but we have been making this place a special place the last couple of years, winning the regular season, the home games. We're 2-0 this year at home, and we have to take advantage of that. But before you try to get too far ahead of yourself, we got to take care of business next week and win one at a time. And I think we can. I think we can go on a little run and still make this a special season.
All right, Coach, next Tuesday we'll talk. We'll take a quick look at the conference as well, see what some of the goals are for the team. As I guess it, you would say the home stretch here, just four games remaining. Again, though, three being over at John L. Guidry Stadium, that's got to be a good thing. Thanks, Coach, as always, for joining us on a Tuesday.
Okay, Gus, thank you, man.
Yeah, for sure. Go enjoy that bye week. At Nichols_FB is the way to follow over on Twitter for Coach Rebo's football team. The way to follow Aaron Hartigan is I'm Aaron Hartigan on Twitter. I like that. Very creative, Aaron. How you doing?
It's a bit of a long story, but there is another Aaron Hartigan in this business, and she gets to write about food and drink for a living, so I am a bit envious.
Yeah, that is.
And
that
she stole the Aaron Hartigan handle, so that's the long story.
Oh, okay. So you just added the I am. I'm Aaron Hartigan. No, I'm Aaron Hartigan. No, I get it. I get it.
So I am.
At Fox Sports SW. I hear you. At Fox Sports SW is the way to follow, of course. Fox Sports New Orleans. And look, you do Pels games, and here we go. The season starts. The crew, looking forward to having you and the rest of the crew on throughout the season as well to talk a little NBA and Pelicans basketball. Aaron, hard to believe that it is starting now. You got two games tonight, 76ers at Boston and Thunder at Golden State. Do you like the early start?
You know, I actually don't mind it if it's going to help prevent back-to-backs throughout the season. I don't know if it really does, though. We were looking at the schedule, and I don't know how much of a difference it makes, but we're itching to get going, man. So first and foremost, happy opening night Eve to you. Mm-hmm. I know we are all putting our show together for tomorrow night, and we're looking forward to having the newest Texas Sports Hall of Fame nominee, Nancy Lieberman, in studio with us, along with Seth Sabalas and Antonio Daniels. So the whole crew is ready to rock and roll, man.
Looking forward to it. At Fox Sports NOLA, it's the way to follow Fox Sports New Orleans over on Twitter as well. Aaron, let's get into it. Obviously, it is what it is, right? It seems like, I mean, have y'all even started? How many packages you got already on AD and all the talk about leaving and all that other stuff? At the end of the day, wins is what's going to matter. But unfortunately, that's what everyone's going to talk about tomorrow, the start of the game before Houston, isn't it?
Well, and it is the elephant in the room, right? And we're obviously going to have to address that as well. But we were actually, Nancy and AD and I were AD Antonio Daniels and I. That's going to be quite confusing this season. I think we just stick with Antonio there.
Okay, we'll do that.
No, we were actually just having that discussion. And you know what? Here's my thing. Yes, AD has reiterated over the last several weeks that winning is the most important thing. And while money talks, winning in this day and age with rings associated with legacies, winning talks louder. But here is my thing. I think if New Orleans this season can put the right pieces around him, and those pieces can make a deeper run into the playoffs than last year's pieces, I think if you can prove that you can win in New Orleans and you can also offer him the max deal and he can stay here and be the guy, I think that's ideal for him. Because here's the thing. There's no guarantee LeBron and L.A. are going to get to the Western Conference Final this year, in my mind. So, and if you go to L.A., you're no longer the guy. You're LeBron's guy. And so I just think if New Orleans can prove that they can put the right pieces around him, they can win, he can stay, be the man, and cash the max, where does he sign, right? So, yeah. I mean, call me crazy, but I think, obviously, like, this season's going to prove a lot. But, you know, in the end, money also does some talking. So we'll see. But I do have him on the over this year. What is it, like 46, 45 and a half is what Vegas has us at? I do have the over.
Wow, that's a lot. You know, it's interesting because you say it too, like what are the pieces you can put around him? You have limitations, obviously. And I guess one of the things that I talked about on the show last week, Aaron, is when you have this kind of chatter, he's gone. I mean, you have the talk shows in the morning on ESPN already saying what team he's going to. that doesn't exactly give a lot of confidence to a free agent to want to come here. So now we do know, and you know this, obviously, players talk amongst themselves. So if anybody does come here, they already know kind of where he's going. I probably try to maybe, you know, kind of help out by saying, well, look at the past, right? He's the one that went and helped get Julius Randle here. He's the one that told Boogie to come here. He's doing all of those things. And that doesn't come across like a guy that says, hold up, give me a year or two and I'll meet you somewhere, you know?
Well, and he's not, in what we've gotten to know over the last few years, like, AD is not your typical superstar that wants to be in that L.A. limelight or that New York limelight or whatever, you know, wherever the big markets are now. You know, I don't know, he is, obviously, he proved he was loyal when he signed that five-year extension in New Orleans. And, you know, I mean, I think, you know, he's a bit, from what I've gathered from my inside sources with the team, like, he doesn't go out much. He's kind of a homebody. Like, he just wants to play basketball. Like, he just wants to do this for a living and enjoy it and win, right? So, I mean, New Orleans is a great place for him. And I know, like, he and Drew Holiday are, like, brothers. I mean, they're tight. And Drew's coming off the best season of his career.
Right.
I mean, if we continue to see that Drew and it's that one-two punch, then you throw in a guy like Julius Randle who can get up and down the floor better than Boogie. He's much more athletic. Alvin had the best line of at Media Days. He said, Julius allows us to implement the run-first offense out the gate, like Alvin wanted to do last year. He goes, not a jog-first, a run-first. And it was kind of a little jab at Boogie himself, which I thought was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he's like, Julius can get up and down the floor, and he's not going to turn the ball over 10 times a game like Boogie did, right? So he's more reliable. He's a better teammate, better locker room guy. And again, wanted him here for a reason, and I'm really looking forward, man, to seeing what they could be. How about this? I might blow your mind. What if we throw Nico in that mix, and we have an 80 Julius Nico big three punch with Drew and Elfrid? What do you think of that starting five?
Yeah, no, that's what I think you're going to see towards the end of the game. Coach Gentry this morning, right before they headed off to Houston, said it's Peyton, Drew, Nico, AD, and Etuan Moore that will be the starting lineup tomorrow. But you got to imagine Julius Randle's going to get in there and see a lot of different minutes. I think, especially tomorrow night, and really for the next handful of games, Aaron, it's really trying to figure out what lineups really work and maybe trying to get that bench to provide a spark. Because I want to say easily two-thirds, especially early in the season, y'all's halftime and post-game comments on Fox Sports New Orleans was, if AD sits down, they're in trouble. I mean, you couldn't sit him down and rest him. So with the season starting October 17th, you want to be playing in May, you're going to need guys off the bench.
Oh, gosh, yeah. And if you have a Julius Randle as your sixth man, are you kidding me? I mean, because it's like defense, you know, defenses can't rest. You know, if you got AD on the floor, you got Julius. I mean, they can bang it down low. They can take it outside. They can handle the ball. You know, and it's the thing is, like, I think if they use the 80 Julius Nico lineup, that's an ideal one. But again, I like your idea of Julius coming off the bench and kind of like alternating like 80 and Julius on the floor. But they can attack those small ball lineups and force
absolutely
to play their game, which is what we saw a lot last season early on with Boogie, but also in the postseason. And how about this? The fact that they want to increase their pace of play. I think they led the league in pace last year and they want to play even faster. The thing to watch there is whether they can increase their pace of play while playing under control. And I know Elfrid Payton is a guy, I mean, every one of the guys at Media Day, they all called him a dog. That was like the exact word used when describing Elfrid Payton. They went on to note that, you know, he's aggressive, he's competitive, constantly looking to push it down the floor, and he's looking ahead, and he can also take it to the rim himself, too. So, I don't know. I'm excited to see him. And lastly, Frank Jackson is another one. We obviously didn't get to see him last year, but he spent all summer living with Drew Holiday out in California. He lived at Drew's place. They trained together. And Drew kind of took him under his wing. And gosh, I mean, if you're going to select a mentor, I don't know if you can find one much better than a Drew Holiday as both a player and a person. And I'm interested to see what that sort of mentorship has done for Frank this season. I mean, he's out to, I mean, this is his debut, man. And so, there are a lot of entertaining storylines entering the season. And, And how about the West in general?
Yeah.
Each and every night, it's going to be a fight for seeding, right?
Yeah. No shortage of topics for sure during the pre, post, halftime, you name it. It's going to be a lot to get into. Tomorrow night, the Rockets, Aaron. Now, I'll ask you this as you guys get ready to go with the season. Carmelo Anthony, James Harden, you got Chris Paul. Look, this is a team that loves to push it and go up and down the floor. So are we expecting a 130-120 type game from the teams?
I think so. I mean, it's going to be an offensive show, which is what you want out the gate, right? That's what fans are craving at this point. But again, you know, I think it's going to be a battle of attrition. You know, those guys can get up and down the floor just like the Pels are wanting to do this year. And like AD said, you know, it's going to come down to the fourth quarter, you know, who can continue that sort of pace and outperform late. And, you know, I think the Pels have prided themselves on off-season strength and conditioning and you know, keeping health in check as well. But again, God, Houston was up, what, like 3-1 on Golden State last year before Chris Paul went down? So, I mean, you know, I mean, this is a team that could very well be, at this point in the season, could very well be in the Western Conference Finals with a team like Golden State. So, I mean, it's a tough one, like on opening night, but it's also a team that you can't help but get up for, right? So, I mean, if you're going to face them at any point, I think it should be night one because you know the emotions and the drive is going to be there. So, I mean, I can't ask for a better first night, and then let's go home and let's whack the floor with Sacramento, right?
Yeah, no, believe it, that needs to be a win. We'll talk about that homestand and that road trip too as well. You're going to be joining us throughout the season. I'm Aaron Hartigan. I am Aaron Hartigan on Twitter at I am Aaron Hartigan. And of course, she'll be with the rest of the crew, as you said, Sed, Antonio, Nancy as well. You'll see them on Fox Sports New Orleans. So, hey, we'll have them on throughout the season and talk a little Pels basketball. It starts tonight with two teams. Pelicans get at it tomorrow at Houston. Thanks as always, Aaron. Appreciate it.
Hey, look forward to having a Hail Mary with you soon, bud.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Take care. I appreciate it. When we come back, we'll switch our attention over to fantasy football as we will talk to Tim Heaney. RotoWire. You got any questions for fantasy football? It's not me. Not me. It's fantasy football expert Tim Heaney.
Why are you even doing this then?
What? For others. I do it for others.
You said,
I care.
Don't ask you any NFL question.
No, I said fantasy football. Yeah, that's okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Oh, yeah. For over 65 years, Golden Motors has been your local Chevy Buick new car dealer. I'm sure you've seen us around supporting our local schools, charities, and organizations. That's just our way to say thanks to all of you for being there for us at Golden Motors. Looking for a new Chevy or Buick? Or looking for that new or pre-owned any make and model? Give us a call at 325-1000 or visit us on the World Wide Web at goldenmotors.com. Golden Motors, Chevy, find new roads.
Hey everyone, it's Gus Kattengell, and what a great time to stop by New Orleans Harley-Davidson. They have the greatest bikes of all time arriving daily and available with 1% financing. New Orleans Harley's also giving away tickets to the World War II Air, Sea, and Land Fest to anyone who test rides a 2019. And on Fridays and Saturdays, you can put your name in the hat for the motorcycle giveaway that will be drawn during the annual Halloween party Thursday the 25th. Get out to New Orleans Harley and get in on the action. While supplies last, financing with approved credit, see dealer for details.
Deciding when and how to retire is one of the most important financial decisions you'll ever make. Do you take a lump sum? Do you have to pay taxes on this money? How do you invest during retirement to make sure you don't outlive your income? What health insurance plans are available? With such an overwhelming number of questions, the most important decision you can make is to seek the advice of a trusted, qualified advisor. Chris Godet has served the area for over 12 years and has the expertise to work with you to find the right solutions. Give Chris Godet a call at 632-6049.
Vision Communication is proud to announce Lightwave, a breakthrough in television viewing. The interactive programming guide is awesome for finding your favorite shows quickly. More channels are available, plus multi-room DVR, easy to search video on demand, and new apps such as local weather. You can even customize your settings for more control. Lightwave is here. Call today to get a great introductory offer. It's part of our promise to bring you a better vision.
Is pain putting a strain on your quality of life?
Don't suffer in silence. Get relief at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Dr. Luis Hernandez and Dr. Keith Duplantis can provide solutions to neck, knee, and back pain, as well as pain associated with injury, arthritis, nerve damage, and migraines. Get help for your pain at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Call today, 985-493-4080, or go to Thibodaux.com.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
It is a little local music tunes Tuesday.
Yeah, shout out to Aaron, Andrew Alexander. And, oh my gosh, let's do that again.
Yeah, try it again.
Andrew Alexander sent this to me.
Yeah.
This back in the Big East.
Back in the day, they played this in the Superdome when they played there. Tim Heaney, RotoWire at Tim underscore Heaney is the way to follow. As always, I appreciate your time. So, Tim, when you don't start a defense in the kicker and then kind of leave it empty and you lose, you probably shouldn't blame anybody but yourself, right?
I think you got to man up on that one. Yeah.
At some point in time, I'm going to figure this out. I really honestly am. You see, here's the problem. I'm trying to do all of this while doing other things at the same time. I need to find, I need a, like, budget fantasy football time. You know what I'm getting? Does that make sense? Would that help if I just budgeted 15 minutes, whatever, to sit down, look at my roster, set it up, make the trades, add and drop, and do all those things?
Don't you guys have interns over there? I mean,
yeah.
You could assign one of them to do that.
Yeah. Well, this one doesn't help me at all.
Really?
Yeah. You got any questions for Tim Heaney?
Wow.
Since you're coming off of a second win. I mean, he's been bragging about his second win of the season so much. I figure you'd have a question for Tim Heaney from RotoWire.
How can I get any better? You know?
How can you get any better? That's a great question.
Who are the people on the?
Let's ask you a real question. Sean at ESPN Radio NOLA says, so with the news about Freeman heading to IR, can I rely on Crowell or do I try to shop Demaryius Thomas for running back? This is a PPR league.
Relying on Crowell might be a little bit of a little bit of a risky proposition every week because Bilal Powell might take the he might take some of the game pace away there. But I still like Crowell as at least a flex or RB2 in most formats every week. I mean, he had that one big game that kind of blew up his numbers. I think Demaryius Thomas, we're actually going to see a little bit better numbers from him as we move forward here because I think Case Keenum kind of, you know, they're going to be throwing a lot, I think, with the way they've been playing. They might have to come back a lot in games. Really depends on what else you have there. I think both would be solid directions if you want to go in, if you're loaded at receiver, but I would need to know the rest of the context there.
Yeah, no doubt. I think injuries obviously play a huge role into who you pick up and go down. As I told you earlier in the year, you know, I had Garoppolo as my quarterback, so I had to eventually obviously make different choices and everything. When you look at the injuries that are happening so far going into almost the midway point of the season, who do you think has had the biggest impact?
Well, I mean, the Freeman injury was really kind of not as bad as the way he's been playing terribly this year. Of course, the Jay Ajayi injury in Philadelphia has been a big one. That kind of opened things up for Corey Clement and Wendell Smallwood to do some things there. I mean, Joe Mixon coming back from injury was big. Rex Burkhead, Patriots injury in that backfield, that's kind of vaulted Sony Michel to be a top 10 running back most weeks now. Leonard Fournette, of course, has been a big one, having T.J. Yeldon be the opening there. I mean, wide receiver hasn't been as tainted by it, luckily, to this point. So maybe, you know, Amari Cooper's maybe one to watch this week, but he's already been kind of terrible this season. So you kind of have a lot of running back stuff going on. And, you know, everyone going heavy on running back this year after, you know, the big year they had last year, a lot of those big names are kind of not paying off as much.
One of the things that I keep getting at throughout the week as well, too, is people that drafted Le'Veon Bell, expecting him at some point to come in. He hasn't showed up yet. Oh, are you still kind of waiting and stashing him, or do you kind of just at this point try to find and stick with people that have been producing, or if you have them, do you stay with them?
I mean, do you have Le'Veon Bell's cell phone number? I don't think the Steelers have heard from him. can't really say much more than that. I think it's weird because James Conner kind of is in a spot to one at least a little bit of a part-time role, even if Bell comes back. I think he's run really well so far. I think he's done the role just enough to really not make the Steelers beg Bell to come back. I think Bell kind of, I don't want to say dropped the ball, but I think the momentum's out of his favor right now in terms of leverage. I think a team will pay up for him before the, I believe, the week 8 trade deadline, the one before week 8. So We have like a week to figure that out after the Steelers bye. It's weird. I think it really depends on your context here. I think if you own Le'Veon Bell, he'll be playing for somebody for the second half. You kind of have to like plan around him right now, and he's like a little bit dead weight at the moment.
You know, you take a look at Jacksonville, and it's funny because, you know, the Saints have Teddy Bridgewater as a backup, and, you know, I saw on social media this weekend, somebody trade for him with Bortles. It's crazy because he's had some games this year where he produced some, and in other games, well, you know, they're asking for Teddy Bridgewater over there. I had Leonard Fournette, right? He can't stay healthy this year, hasn't been really healthy. Is Jacksonville a no-touch zone from an offensive point right now?
I don't think so. I think that the Dallas defense is underrated. I think that was a showing last week that kind of put a little bit of expectations more on their side to be a little bit better. Jacksonville's going to have those weeks. Blake Bortles is going to Bortles a lot of the time. He'll luck into a lot of good fantasy numbers because he's not a very good real-life quarterback. But I still like Keelan Cole as a wide receiver. I think he's drawn some tough assignments the last few weeks. D.D. Westbrook has some talent there. Dante Moncrief has flashes. I think that they do maybe even need another pass catcher, maybe. I mean, the tight end, they don't use at all. I think Yeldon being in there all the time kind of is wearing him down a little bit. They need another offensive weapon. I'm not sure if it's a change of quarterback because Fournette's health is probably the main one that's killing it. I wouldn't necessarily think a new quarterback's going to help that.
Bengals and Chiefs coming up this week. It's the Sunday night game. I guess some people obviously are surprised what Mahomes has done, but Andy Dalton, how is he doing? I mean, if you're a guy that has him as well and some offensive numbers for the Bengals there, they're putting up a lot of yards and points.
Yeah, I like how this offense has evolved. It's the first full season with Bill Lazor as offensive coordinator. He kind of came in mid-season, maybe earlier last season, but whole offseason to know the playbook now. Dalton also has Tyler Boyd coming in as a big factor. Joe Mixon emerging, I think, is turning this offense around entirely. Offensive line's been better. Still have A.J. Green, not doing as much, but still being a good presence there. So, yeah, Dalton, very comfortable. The picks have been coming recently. I think the luck's running out there. But he had that 4-pick game in week 3 that really threw things off. I like Dalton as a top 15 quarterback moving forward. I think the floor is pretty high, depending on, you know, this Bengals team is going to involve mixing the passing game. So a lot of weapons. Offense that's steadying. The schedule looks pretty good coming up, too.
800-998-1003. If you got a question, as always, you can tweet at us at Tim_Haney as well. Michael got a question for Tim Haney. What you got, bud?
Good afternoon, guys. Tim, standard league, I have a combo here. Should I go Flacco and Crabtree against the Saints, or Trubisky and Trey Burton against New England?
That's a good one. I think Trubisky's the better quarterback play, but I think Crabtree's the better receiving play. It's weird. I mean, it really depends on, I don't know if you have like a bonus for stacks or something, but the thing I worry about most with Chicago is that they spread the ball around a lot. Trey Burton has scored, I think, the last 3 weeks or three of the last 4 weeks, but not a big workload besides those touchdowns, and the Bears have so many weapons that I don't think Trubisky's going to hone in on Burton all that much. So I think if you want to do Trubisky and Crabtree, I could totally get with that because the Saints cornerbacks, as Gus and everybody and you, Michael, probably know, you know, that cornerback lot has been really, really soft. Maybe the bye helped them somehow, but I'd go with Trubisky and Crabtree. I don't know if I would be so stuck to playing the guys from the same team.
Gotcha. And what about one more thing? What about Alex Smith or Flacco?
That's a tough one because I think Dallas' defense is, like I said, kind of emerging, and Smith hasn't really done much with that offense so far because they've had some injuries and stuff like that. Flacco is playing – sorry, I'm just pulling it up here. Flacco is playing the Ravens.
Saints.
Are playing
Saints. Ravens Saints. And Saints.
Thank you. Yeah. Yep. Thank you. You just mentioned that before. never mind. I go with Flacco.
Sweet, man. Thank you all so much.
Good luck, man.
Good luck, Gus.
Sounds good. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate it. 800-998-1003. And, of course, at ESPN Radio NOLA. It's always the way. You can tweet us a question for Tim Haney as well. You can tweet at him, at Tim_Haney. Tell the folks what they can find over at RotoWire, Tim.
Hey, guys. I recorded my Monday Fantasy Football podcast yesterday. I do that every Monday. Facebook Live, you'll have Wednesday at noon Central, and Thursday and Sunday will be comment threads. You can post for lineup decisions there. And if you guys are voting on November 6th, don't forget Fantasy Sports Initiative. Vote on November 6th, you can vote yes to permit fantasy sports contests in Louisiana. You know, that's the whole thing you got to do there. And if you want to play some more DFS, you can have so much more stuff at the website, rotowire.com/free.
That's awesome. Tim, as always, man, appreciate your time. We'll speak again next Monday, man.
Thank you so much, Gus. Take care, man.
Yep, for sure. Quick break. We come back. Find out a little bit what's going on with Tulane. They take on SMU this weekend. Green Wave. Gary Smith covers them for The Advocate. We'll chat with him when we come back next on ESPN New Orleans.
Are you looking for a delicious meal and a great spot to watch all the games? Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap at 132 Royal Street right off Canal is that and a whole lot more. With outstanding Southern Coastal Cuisine dishes such as shrimp and grits, more than 50 craft beers on tap, 15 TVs, craft cocktails, and breakfast, lunch, and dinner, Old Saint is not your average sports bar. Enjoy the 2-for-1 draft happy hour from 3 to 7 weekdays and make your reservations through Open Table or visit online, oldsaint.com.
Hi, I am John Mellison, candidate for re-election to the Greater Lafourche Port Commission, CG. I would like to ask for your support on Election Day so that I can continue to work hard for the future of our port, creating jobs and making our area a great place to live, work, and play. Paid for by the John Mellison Campaign Fund.
Hi, I'm Lindy LaRue with Donlin Construction. Are you thinking about starting a new project? Well, if you have an idea, we'll make it happen. Donlin Construction, a state-licensed contractor, offers many services from site work, concrete paving, and foundations to customized office buildings and warehouses. Whatever service you require, Donlin Construction will make it happen. Just call 985-798-7788. Donlin Construction.
Bright Supermarket is focused on customer service, quality products, competitive prices, and specialized service to the offshore oil industry. Let Frank's Catering Department do the cooking for you. The bakery has fresh breads and rolls, sandwich trays made daily, veggie trays, chicken salad, homemade chili, cakes, and pies. Need catering for a wedding, bridal shower, funeral, corporate meeting, or home party? Call Frank's Supermarket today in La Rose, Golden Meadow, Lockport, and Des Almas. Online shopping now available at franksupermarket.com.
Join us for varsity football coverage, 6:30 pregame and 7 o'clock kickoff. Friday, October 19th, South Lafourche travels to E.D. White. Our broadcast is sponsored by Bob Dewey, candidate for Greater Lafourche Port Commission, Seat G, Dufresne Building Materials, Lady of the Sea General Hospital, State Bank and Trust Company, State Senator Gary Smith, Total Urgent Care, and Frank's Supermarket. Friday night's football on 100.3 FM and 1600 AM KLEB.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill.
Gary Smith of The Advocate covers the Tulane Green Wave at G-U-E-R. Smith is the way to follow over on Twitter. Gary, what's going on, man?
Not much, just looking forward to this the Tulane SMU game Saturday. It's kind of amazing. Both teams are struggling at 2-4, but the winner of the game Saturday will have at worst sole possession of second place in the American Athletic Conference West Division. And if Houston loses to Navy, the winner of the Tulane SMU game will actually be tied for first in the division. So certainly still a lot to play for Tulane.
So you're saying it's kind of a big game? Is that what you're saying at 2:30?
A little bit. Yeah. A little bit. That's not even getting into the Banks within controversy at the end of the game last year. This has certainly been a game that Tulane fans and a lot of players have been pointing to since basically the second that game ended last year.
I was going to get into that as well. You said controversy. Is there a quarterback controversy at Tulane, Gary? Because the last game they were on the field there, Cincinnati. And Coach Fritz, I mean, McMillan played most of that game at quarterback. Sure. And I was kind of a little scratching my head going, I don't know if Banks did anything bad against Memphis to merit, hey, let's see what both – because Willie Fritz at the end of the game said we were going to go into the game, play each quarterback two series, see who played better, and roll it from there. And he said we might have gone with the wrong one. So I don't understand even why we go into that situation coming off the Memphis game, in which I thought Jonathan Banks played well. So – explain to me, is there a controversy? Why did they go that way? And what did Coach Fritz have to say today?
Yeah, you can certainly call it a controversy. Coaches hate that word. Willie Fritz, like all coaches, is saying, well, what's the difference between quarterback and other positions? But, of course, there is a difference because the quarterback is the leader of the team. And he knows that. Willie Fritz has been completely noncommittal this week, which is understandable. There's no reason for him or the coaches to tip their hands at this point. I have a feeling they're going to go back to Banks. this week, just based on Fritz's comments after the game, admitting that they might have made a mistake. And this is the deal. Look, Banks' numbers are down this year overall. Unquestionably, he's completing less than 50% of his passes, and in the last four games last year, I believe he completed 63% of his passes.
Right.
So that's been a little disappointing, but you made a good point. He played a great game against Memphis before he went out with cramps. I really think the biggest issue with him, it's actually not those passing numbers. The coaches have just gotten frustrated with his reads at the beginning of snaps on basic plays. That they feel like he keeps it when he should hand it off sometimes. They feel like he hands it off when the defensive end is crashing in and he needs to keep it. And sometimes he passes when they feel like the defense is set up more to run. They just want him to be better in that area. And I think that was really the primary reason they ended up going with McMillan against Cincinnati. The problem is McMillan basically just hasn't played in college much. And although he started off really well against Cincinnati, like he did against Memphis, the more he played, the more he struggled. And he's not as dynamic a runner as Banks. So I have a feeling that we're going to see Jonathan Banks as the starting quarterback this Saturday. But I wouldn't guarantee it.
So obviously, look, he got the revenge factor. That was a year ago. Obviously, Coach Morris is now over at Arkansas. So is it a different team from the Mustangs, or is it still a very similar high up, you know, octane type offense?
They're not as good this year because they lost their 2,000-yard receivers from last year. They were absolutely terrific at the receiver position last year. They're still good. They still run a lot out of the spread. They have a quarterback controversy of their own a little bit. The quarterback that Tulane faced last year, Ben Hicks, in some ways, it's sort of similar. He's the better passer. They have a freshman, William Brown, who they've been using quite a bit, who's more of a runner. And it's kind of varied from game to game this year, which one of them gets more time. But they've got a new coach at SMU and Sonny Dyke. They're having some growing pains that you always have with a coaching change. This is definitely a very winnable game for Tulane this Saturday. In fact, Tulane's favored by 7 points. If that line holds up by kickoff, that'll be the largest number that Tulane has been favored by in its 5-year history in the American Athletic Conference. So this is definitely a game that Tulane needs to win. It won't be easy, but it's a game Tulane really needs to win.
Well, they got 6 games left after this week. It's Tulsa and then at South Florida that, you know, almost lost at Tulsa this past week. Then they host East Carolina at Houston on a Thursday night, and then they host Navy in that final game. Do the Green Wave, in your mind, at this point coming out of the bye week, win enough games to go bowling?
Don't know yet. Have not. If they play like they did in the first 6 games, they will not go bowling. And that's granted. Look, they've played a very tough schedule. UAB even has only lost 1 game this year. Cincinnati's undefeated. You never would have called that going into the year. Too many penalties, too many self-inflicted wounds. As Willie Fritz always says, you know, wave don't beat the wave, and there's been way too much of the wave beating the wave this year. So they have to play better, but it's there in front of them. There are 4 games on that schedule that Tulane has an excellent chance to win: SMU, Tulsa, Navy, and East Carolina. And then there's no team in this league. They're not playing UCF.
Right.
There's no team that they can't beat. So, they can win 4 more. They just have to play better than they have. And it's always, saying a team's going to play better than it has before is always a questionable deal.
At Gary Smith, the way to follow Gary Smith of The Advocate, who covers the Tulane Greenway. Thanks as always, man. Appreciate it. Hour 2 in the books. Hour 3 next on ESPN New Orleans.
Looking for hardwood floors? Then don't pay retail.